Our Lady of Good Counsel, St. Raymond of Penafort, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We read in the Gospel today about how a leper came to our Blessed Lord and asked to be healed, and how our Lord healed him. St. Jerome says about this miracle that this is the first mention in the Gospel of a miracle of healing. Our Lord had just preached the Sermon on the Mount, and he was coming down from the mountain when he met this leper. The leper couldn't hear his sermon because of his leprosy, and so he met our Lord on the way down from the mountain. Now, what our Lord did to the leper today, we have a chance to do sometimes, in a sense, in our daily lives. But unfortunately, we sometimes miss that opportunity because we misunderstand the situation. Leprosy, of course, is a symbol of sin. Sin is the leprosy of the soul. We all know some spiritual lepers. In fact, some of us may have them in our own circle of family or friends, people who may be publicly living in the state of sin, or for one reason or another may seem like they're not living even a minimally Christian life. Many of us know such people, and what we're considering today is, how do we treat these people? Do we try to heal them as our Lord did, or do we shun them as the Jews did to the lepers in times of old? For many Catholics, the situation presents sort of a dilemma, because obviously we don't want to condone their sins. And yet we can still try to heal them of their leprosy, even without condoning their wrongdoing. So how do we do this? First, we have to have a spirit of charity. When we think about such a person, we begin by having a natural horror for their sin, of course, and this is a healthy reaction. But unfortunately, this easily and sometimes unconsciously leads us to have a horror for the person who is committing the sin. We make the logical inference that since a person does bad things, they must be bad people. And this assumption causes us to treat that person like a leper. We may treat them with contempt or shun them, or be ashamed to be seen with them. And worst of all, we may feel like we are better than them. But all of this is a mistake. We should make a distinction between the sinner and the sin, because we all do bad things. We all commit sins. We should never get the idea that we are holy just because we see someone else who seems to be more sinful than we are. It may be that we are just better at hiding our sins from other people. We should remember, first of all, that when God judges our sins, He judges not only the external action that everyone can see. He also takes into account all the other circumstances and factors that only He can see. And very often, He sees extenuating circumstances that we don't know about. He may know, for example, that the person that we are feeling holier than may have resisted the temptation to commit that sin many times before they fell, and they may have resisted it in circumstances in which we would have fallen if we had been in that position. He may see that we have had advantages in our lives that have helped us to avoid that sin that the other person is committing, which if they had had, they would have used better than we have. So we should have a spirit of humility and holy fear when we think about the sins of others, and we feel ourselves to be better than them, because that is something that is known only to God alone. Another thing to remember and to be afraid of is that spiritual writers teach that God often allows people to fall into the same sins for which they despise other people for committing. He does this to help save us from the punishment of pride by humiliating us so that we don't feel holier than our neighbor. So we should be careful about looking at someone else and thinking that we would never commit the sin that they are committing, because we are lining ourselves up for the possibility of falling into the same sin. So in the practical order, how should we treat the sinners that we see in the course of our lives, at least the people whose sins are more public than ours are? First of all, we should never do or say anything that would lead them to think that there is nothing wrong with their sins. Obviously, that would only confirm them in wrongdoing. But short of that, we should treat them with kindness, and we should try to show them that we still cherish them, even though they're not doing what is right. We can even gently suggest to them now and then that they try to amend their lives, but only in a way that we think will be well received. If we tell them in a way that they don't like, it will only be counterproductive. Oftentimes, this is not even necessary because people know what their sins are already. They know it better than you do, and they certainly don't need you to tell them. But most importantly, we should avoid treating them with contempt or making them feel like second-class citizens. If we do that, it will only harden them in their ways, and that reputation of theirs will become a self-fulfilling prophecy. If someone is having troubles in their spiritual life, and they get the idea that everyone thinks that they're just evil people anyway, they will have little incentive to improve. They will be inclined to just accept the fact that they're evil, and will be content with that designation, and they will have no problem living up to it. And if we treat them with contempt, and if by doing so we harden those people in their sins, then we will have to render an account for their soul when we come to our judgment, because instead of leading them to God, we only push them closer to hell. But if we treat sinners with kindness, and not in a condescending way, but in a way that makes them feel truly cherished as a person, they will be inclined to live up to that treatment. They will not want to let you down, in a sense, because they will care what you think about them because of that bond of friendship or kindness. And they will not want to disappoint you by continuing to be bad. At least that will be a motive for them. There is a saying that has a lot of wisdom in it that says that if you treat a man as he is, he will remain as he is. But if you treat him as he should be, he will become as he should be. This shouldn't be confused with another very similar saying, which is on a different topic, but which says that if you treat a dog like a dog, he will treat you like a human being. But if you treat a dog like a human being, he will treat you like a dog. That's a different subject. All of this might sound a little bit liberal or touchy-feely to some people, especially among traditional Catholics today, who are generally very concerned about avoiding contact with sin or with sinful people. But if we look at the life of our Blessed Lord, we can see that his manner was very different from how we tend to be. Our Lord seemed to be perfectly comfortable in the company of people who were generally considered to be immoral by respectable people. He associated freely with publicans and soldiers and harlots and tax collectors. And he did this in order to win them to himself, as the good shepherd that he is. And one time he was even reproached for doing this, as we read in the Gospel of St. Matthew, St. Matthew says, "And it came to pass, as he was sitting at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with Jesus and his disciples. And the Pharisee, seeing it, said to his disciples, Why doth your master eat with publicans and sinners? But Jesus, hearing it, said, They that are in health need not a physician, but they that are ill. Go then and learn what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice. For I am come not to call the just, but sinners." So our Lord's focus was not on condemning or despising people, but on healing them. And our focus should be in the same place. Instead of trying to find something to condemn in our neighbor, let us try to see what we can do to heal them. Our Lord was able to interact with the dregs of society without any apparent discomfort that we can see or discern from Scripture. And yet, despite his easygoing manner, we know that there was one type of people that he absolutely could not stand. And who were these? They must have been extremely wicked to have merited the enmity of our divine Lord, who has such a great love for all of his creatures. But surprisingly, these were the people who had the best reputation of anybody. They were the Pharisees, people who had a reputation for piety and for living an upright life. They were so holy that they couldn't stand being around common sinners. And yet that was exactly the problem. They thought that they were not sinners. And our Lord, who can read men's hearts, knew that they were. Because we're all sinners. And those of us who think that we aren't are the worst of all. And it may be that someone who is struggling with some vice that we may be inclined to despise, who knows their own weakness, may be more pleasing in the sight of God than we are, especially if we think that we are good only because we're wonderful people, rather than because God's grace preserves us from falling into sin. Our Lord's demeanor towards the Pharisees is truly terrifying. You can almost feel his disgust coming off of the page of Scripture as you read about his encounters with them and what he said. He who spoke only words of gentleness to everyone, when he spoke to the Pharisees, he called them by the harshest terms in his divine vocabulary. He threatened them repeatedly with the fires of hell. He told them that publicans and harlots would make it into the kingdom of heaven before they did. And why was that? Because those people had ordinary human sins that they could repent of because they knew that they were bad. But the Pharisees not only committed ordinary sins, although they managed to hide them better, but they also thought that they were not sinful. And because of this, they could not repent and be forgiven, because repentance begins with acknowledging one's sins. And so they were spiritually much worse off than ordinary sinners. So let us think today about how our Lord treated the leper that came to him and healed him. Let us see if we do the same to the lepers in our lives, maybe among our family and friends. Their sins may be on the outside, the way a leper's disease is on the outside of his body. But God alone knows whether their overall condition is better or worse than ours. Most diseases take place only inside the body and they're hidden. But leprosy is one disease that happens mostly on the outside. For most of us, our sins are on the inside and people can't see them. But for some people, their sins are on the outside and everybody can see them. But we should remember that there are diseases that are worse than leprosy, although they're hidden inside the body. And in the same way, there are sins that may be hidden from other people, which are more deadly than the public sins of someone else. In any case, we don't have to judge the condition of people's souls. All we have to do is try to heal them by our kindness and humility, and by not acting like we are better than they are. If we ever catch ourselves thinking that someone is an evil person and that we are better than them, we should immediately catch ourselves and remind ourselves that that is something that only God knows. And in any case, we should be too busy working on our own problems than worrying about somebody else. If there is anyone in particular that we think that we are better than, or who is a spiritual leper, just because their sins are on the outside instead of on the inside like our sins, let us treat them with kindness and humility. And let us hope and pray that if we treat our sinful, leprous neighbor like that, that God will deign to heal the even more serious diseases that may lie hidden within our own souls. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.